Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey there, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day and ready for the State of the Union tonight. I love it. I'm sure it's going to be lots of red pills, and it's going to make the evil ones just shriek in agony, and it makes me so glad. And we're just having, everything's turning to gold. Gold medals. The gold is going up. And we got one more week till Purim. If you guys are new here, I'm Melissa Redpill. Come and join with us over on melissaredpill.com. Yeah, so I wanted to show you real quick some of the great things that have been happening this week. We're going to talk about the Tucker interview with Huckabee. We've got to go into that more because I watched, it's like a 2.5 hour interview. I watched almost all of it, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a mess. You got to see it. And also, we're going to talk about the gold medal, which is really just a really a great shot in the arm. Isn't it really wonderful? A good shot in the arm. All right. And then we're also going to have a special guest today. And so, yeah, it's going to be something that YouTube can't handle the truth. So if you're watching this from YouTube, come over on our Rumble channel, and you can find all of our information over on melissaredpill.com. You can find all of our social media right there. Just click on the three little lines, and you'll see the social media, and you can join with us on all of our platforms with our social media as well as our video channels. And if you haven't been following our social media, definitely follow, because it's, you know, I don't put out too much, but I try to put out all the hard-hitting things for us to have something to share that's really important to push out there for everyone to see. All right, so I want you to see this beautiful song. Let's do this together. It's so wonderful. So, you know, let's just rejoice the gold medal is amazing. And I watched the game, the highlights of the game. I didn't watch the whole game. And it's wonderful. But more than that, it's like men are back. Yay. It's cool to be a dude. And I know you dudes out there are happy to hear that it's not a bad thing to be a dude. And it's a good thing to be heterosexual. I'm loving it. I'm all about it. And also it's good to be an American. And it's great to be a winner. It's just wonderful. So check this out. Let's sing together. Oh, no. Okay, you know what? I don't think that's going to actually play because it sounds like it's too loud or the audio is not working. Let me see. I'm going to try it right here. You can see that they're busting out. They're singing with all their hearts. I would love to play that whole thing, but it is obviously not going to cooperate. It is really scratchy, and I guess because it's too loud or distorted or whatever. But they were singing, of course, our national anthem and just busting it out. And it's just so great to have American pride back. It's really a great, great thing. So thank you to our wonderful U.S. hockey team for helping us to get our pride in America back. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I posted this today on the social media. So if you're following, you've already seen it. So, all right. So now, hopefully this is going to play. This is where Pete Hegseth was praying before the governor's meeting at the White House. And so I really appreciate Pete Hegseth's prayer. And I want you to hear his prayer because he is calling Jesus King Jesus also. And the significance of that is that, it's something that the Lord has put in my heart to call him the King, because we're entering into his kingdom. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're not escaping earth like they told us. We're going to enter into 1,000 years of peace on earth. If you're not familiar with that, you can check out my books over here on the End Times page. And I'll show you super quick. This is my bestseller book. Probably 50,000 people have read this book and now know the wonderful truth about end times. It's the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace for us. I go into all the truth about what it's the 666 and the mark of the beast and decoded it all, because what they told us was to scare us and to get us to hide under the bed. All right, so listen to his prayer, and especially listen as he says, King Jesus, I love it.
Before your throne, praising you for all the providence you've bestowed upon this nation. For over 250 years, from George Washington to President Trump, we have dedicated this nation to one nation under God, and certainly in God we trust. And as we think 250 years ago to George Washington on bended knee in Valley Forge, appealing to heaven on behalf of his troops and this young nation, we've appealed to you from the beginning, and may we continue to appeal to you. And tonight, we pray for our president, President Trump. Give him safety, give him wisdom. Lord, we pray for our vice president, our first lady, our second lady, the cabinet members here, all the governors assembled here as well, our civil magistrates, Lord God. I ask that you give them the wisdom to see what is right and the courage to do it. Wisdom defined as the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord being the source of all knowledge and wisdom. Lord God, your eternal truths, may they rule. So this evening, also, I would be remiss if I did not pray for our great troops, our men and women all around the globe, defending our great nation as they have for 250 years. Lord God, watch over them and protect them. It is in your holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that we pray and we bless this food too. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I love it. I love it. I love it. So the King of our wonderful kingdom that we're entering into, it's going to be great. Okay, so this was really cool. Okay, so you guys have already seen, I'm sure, all the hubbub about Jack Hughes and the entire team. But, you know, he was doing the one hitting this amazing goal at the just, it was really, if you didn't watch it, let me just tell you super quick that there was a goal. There was the puck was already in on the other team. They almost made a goal. I mean, it was inside the, what do you call that area? The goal area. I mean, it was already in there. It was not in the net. And the guy was, you know, with his legs going this way and that way like they do. And he somehow, by a miracle, he put his hockey stick down, and the handle of the hockey stick caught the puck and diverted it out of the net, preventing it from going into the net. Anyway, I'm obviously not a hockey player, but yeah, hopefully it makes sense. It was all but in, and they were this close. The Canadians were this close to winning the game. And then, I mean, it looked like they were really taking charge at the very end. They went into overtime. And then by just... another miracle, Jack Hughes, you know, got that puck in. It went in so quick. It was the game is so quick, it's hard to even follow it. It's like you have to have really good eyes and you have to know what you're looking for. Anyway, so yeah, and he got knocked, his tooth got knocked out because one guy, they're so rough and tumble in this game. The guy was, he tripped over someone's foot and he was, you know, falling, and I think they take this opportunity to let themselves flail and bash into someone. Well, they got this guy, Jack Hughes, got hit in the face with the hockey stick, and I mean, they're all just being so rough. They bang each other into the walls. It's just crazy, and you got to be tough, and I think that's why President Trump likes this game, because, you know, he's tough. He's tough. This is not an easy sport at all. You've got to be tough as nails, and we have had to be tough as nails in this battle to win this battle, right? The Battle of Armageddon is not for the faint of heart. We have found that out. Anyway, so here he, what he didn't know is he went over to the ref and says, I'm bleeding. Well, I just thought bleeding. Okay, bleeding. No, he's not just bleeding. His tooth's knocked out. Well, it turns out he got that same tooth knocked out back in 2023. But anyway, I just, quite something. And of course, to see the joy on the faces and to see the just, and I even talk about this in the book, The Golden Age, in the most recent chapter that I was working on, the joy. And it's really, I talk about that the unfettered, unbounded, unmitigated joy that you have, that we're going to have when the beast of Armageddon is gone, when these evildoers are gone. And so that's what we just experienced with this game. I mean, just to see the joy on their faces and in the crowd and all these people as they're celebrating. It's just such a beautiful thing. Like I said, I wish I could play the song for you. Don't know why it's not playing. But anyway, besides that, and they're going to be at the State of the Union tonight. It's going to be so fun. Just winning is always so fun. President Trump even posted, he says, you know, it's so sad that, he didn't say it's sad. It's just, you know, with so much winning, it's not fair for everybody else. Because we did have more gold medals than ever. And we always get the lion's share. But this time we even surpassed any records before. So, just saying, going into the golden age, and America is destined to save the world. So it would stand to reason that we would be winning lots of gold medals. We're winning the world, for goodness sakes, right? All right, so this the guy found out that there was a guy in the team 40-something years ago, 46 years ago, I think it was, that his name was Jack Hughes. And he got kicked off, he got cut from the team for one reason or another. And it's just like, are you kidding me? So check this out. I thought this was really fun.
This has to be one of the most unbelievable things in sports history.
What if I told you that Jack Hughes' goal was 46 years in the making?
What if I told you that Jack Hughes was cut from Team USA?
This is fucking insane. Now, Team USA wins gold on the 46th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice.
It's absolutely mind-blowing.
Everyone knows the movie Miracle. Look, you know Miracle?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what happens in the 51st minute of Miracle?
Something absolutely fucking crazy.
Nothing to see here, just the boys practicing.
Just the boys out there getting ready for the Olympics.
Unbelievable movie.
Best movie of all time.
Now, right there, can you tell me the name that was just cut?
Did that say Jack Hughes?
Can you tell me the name on the tape of the locker being ripped off?
Jack Hughes.
Who was the man who scored the game-winning goal 46 years later?
Jack Hughes.
Jack fucking Hughes. This is unbelievable. What in the Sim shit is this?
I could have swore this was AI. Jack Hughes was cut from the 1980 Olympic hockey team just moments before the Olympics.
They didn't cut Jack Hughes. They delayed Jack Hughes.
This all started with Jack Hughes and it ended with Jack Hughes.
Jack Hughes walked so Jack Hughes could run. If this doesn't give you full body chills, I don't know what will.
Okay, sorry about all the expletives. I didn't remember that was a very colorful language. But anyway, the point is, isn't that something? He says, what in the Simpson bleep is this? You know, how the Simpsons show is always doing something, you know, it's like, how did they know this ahead of time? So is this part of the script? I don't know. It just... it's a God thing, I think. What do y'all think? I just thought that was so fun. I had to show it to you. All right. So, yeah. Okay. So, let's talk about what's going on in Mexico super quick. And I know I'm going to get to Huckabee, but you got to hear this too. Right now, the cartels are going crazy. Okay. So, first of all, let's understand that the bottom line is the cartels are really not doing well lately because President Trump has shut down their money source because they cannot get their drugs and their trafficking into America. And so, you know, they're being shut down at every turn. We've seen them crazy that they would take these boats and they would try to run these drugs and they get blasted out of the water. How many times have we seen that? So they have really been, they've cut off their money source. And so, you know, they've been, you know, fighting, the cartels have been fighting each other for the little bit of trafficking work that there is. Okay. So this is so wild what's going on in Mexico with the cartels. Okay. So I want you to see that the U.S. led a task force. Okay. This whole thing is really led by the U.S. to take out El Mencho. I'm going to show you El Mencho because Mencho is no bueno. Okay, he's one of the cartel leaders, and he ruled with an iron fist, and everyone was afraid of him. And he is basically demon number one, that everybody was afraid of this man. Okay, evil, evil man. And so really just within like an hour before we came on the show, his right-hand man was just killed also. I'm going to show you that. I'm going to give you a warning before, but this is what the State Department, Homeland Security, whatever, put out this picture. So I feel like I can put this picture out too. I'm just going to give you a warning before I do. Anyway, so this El Mencho operation was led by the U.S. Okay, so I posted that today, and so you might want to read more about that. But yeah, I just wanted you to see, it says the Mexican authorities killed Nemesio Oseguera, a 60-year-old leader of the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, CJNG. Rough people. He's known as El Mencho, during a military operation in Jalisco State on Sunday. The raid designed to capture him was carried out solely by Mexican forces with no physical involvement from U.S. personnel, according to a Mexican government source and Mexico's defense ministry. The ministry stated that the U.S. authorities supplied complementary information without elaborating. Anyway, the point is they contributed, and then now this guy is dead. And so now the cartels are even more crazy, and they're burning stuff down. They're shooting people in the streets. If you are outside, you are going to get shot. I mean, it is that bad. People are staying in their homes and don't even think about getting in your car, because they will chase you down. They are just, the demons in them are shrieking. This is so biblical. This is what happens when a country is taken over by demons. It becomes hell on earth. They're literally chasing civilians in cars and shooting them in their cars. It's outrageous. So it's horrible what's going on. And so, yeah, that's, I want you to see that's what's happening there. Before this even happened, President Trump got Mexico to hand over 100 cartel leaders before the El Mencho raid. The cartels are going down. Make Mexico great again. I have, you know, we live in Texas. You guys know that, outside the Houston area. And there are so many people who've come here from Mexico. And I've told you before that they've told me stories that they've gone home to see their family members, and the cartels have stopped them and said, you have to give us money or we're taking your grandfather. I mean, there's no law and order. President Trump just posted the other day, it's not being led, controlled by Sheinbaum, the president of Mexico. And said, oh no, I'm gonna bring out my lawyers to say that was a mean thing for you to say. It's the truth. You're not running the place. And look at it now. Because the cartels are going crazy, crazy right now. So I want you to see that. So that was 100 cartel leaders, 100 of them. And so that's one of the reasons that they're going so crazy, is because they don't have their leaders to control them. I mean, it's just like the demons have been turned loose. It's really just awful. All right, so here is what Adam Media posted, and I would have to agree. He says the CIA has clearly been arming the Mexican cartels. Look at this. Look at these people. They are armed to the teeth. Look at these vehicles. Clearly, this is what our CIA has provided for these cartels so they could run their drugs. Hello, that's how they roll. CIA is cocaine in America, drugs in America. So they would not have all this if it hadn't been for them. And so, you know, it's just a big money game right there. Clearly, there's no doubt about it. Okay, I'm going to play this for you. Before I do this, I'm going to give you the warning right now. I'm going to go ahead and show you this clip. I think this is the one, the picture right here. Yeah, there are his two of his right hand people of El Mencho who are now dead. So yeah, they're probably all. I don't even know who's killing who over there. It's absolute pandemonium. So that is great news to have all these leaders at the top and then round up all these cartel members. All right, so I want you to hear this, and I speak some Spanish. I don't understand what all they're saying, because I can speak it better than I can understand it, if that makes sense. Anyway, because they talk so fast sometimes, I just can't quite make it all out. But when you're listening to this, it is when you're reading it, there's a lot of colorful language. I'm just going to warn you now, but I want you to hear this because this is how they run the police. And so El Mencho, this is a couple years ago, was talking to the police, and you can tell that the police are, you know, submitting to him, saying, "I know you're the boss." Okay, I want you to see this because this is really important to understand what happens when you let these people take over. We cannot let the MS-13 and all these gang members, all these lawless ones, take over our country. We can't. I mean, because this is the end of it, is what you see happening in Mexico. And that's why my friends who live here had to flee because they could not be safe. It was too dangerous to stay there. And now especially, I'm going to show you one other quick thing before I do this. Yeah, I was just there in Puerto Rico. Puerto Vallarta, in Thanksgiving. That's where we went with our family for Thanksgiving. We went on a cruise. There's the cruise ship. We were docked right there in November at Puerto Vallarta. Now, Puerto Vallarta is not on the peninsula. It's on the mainland. And so I was a little bit more nervous about being there, but there wasn't anything going on. And they normally stay away from the tourist areas because that's part of their income stream also. But now they're burning down Costco's and whatever. And I thought there was like a Walmart right over there somewhere. Anyway, the point is they're just burning things down, shooting people in the streets. I mean, it's absolute crazy. Yeah, and I just believe this must be the day to end their brutal regime. It's got to make Mexico great again. All right, sorry about that. All right, so here is the clip, and I'm gonna mute it because there's no reason for you to hear. You'll just have to maybe read some of the curse words. But he's saying, "You people, leave us alone. It's Mencho. Get your blinking men to fall back or I'm going to blink you up and your whole squad. I have 30 of you blinkers located and identified. I'll even kill your dogs if you don't chill out." So something was going on at this point that the police were not doing what they were supposed to do. Mencho clearly says that he pays the police. He gives them a lot of money and they're expecting them to do whatever he says. And so whatever they were doing, they were not following his orders. And he made it clear in no uncertain terms that he would kill them. He'd kill their dogs. He'll kill whomever. It's crazy. He said, the police said, "You've got it, sir. I'll tell the police squads to fall back." "No, no, you better not hang up. I've got your location right now." And the police said, "No, sir, I'm not hanging up." Let me see what he said. He says, "I was just saying that I will let them know." The guy is petrified. The guy is beside himself with fear. So he says, "I'm not hanging up. Get your blank together. Didn't you guys agree to work with us? We agreed not to blank with you guys. And in return, you want to blank with us? No, sir. I'll tell them to back off." And so Mencho says, "Tell the bleeps to fall back because all of you are happily accept my money, you pigs." "Yes, sir. I'm telling them right now." And he says, Mencho says, "Get your bleep together or you'll be the first one I'll make an example of." "Oh, no, sir," the police officer says. "We won't have any more problems." Mencho says, "Watch yourself because I'll spill blood at a moment's notice. You already know what's up." The police says, "No, sir, there's no problem." You see, the guy is panic-stricken. "So if you guys want us to be friendly, then you be friendly. If not, bleep, bleep." "Okay. No, sir. No, I know, sir," the police officer. I mean, you see how they're submitting. "Sir, you know I'm on your side," the police officer says. Mencho says, "Well, that's why I'm so surprised. I understand you got people and family to take care of, but get it together." And the police says, "No, I know, sir." Mencho says, "I don't want you to turn off your phone. I'll call you again real soon to find out if you guys chilled out. Got it?" He says, "No, right now I'm going to call." And Mencho says, "That goes for all of you, everybody in general. Tell everyone to chill the bleep out, please." And the police officer said, "Yes, for sure, and I'll call you back on this number." "No, no, no," he says. Mencho says, "Don't call me back on this number. I'll call you back when I can." And so the police officer says, "You got it." Mencho says, "But don't turn off your cell phone because I'll interpret that as disrespect." The police officer says, "No, sir, right now I'm going to let them know with a different device." And so Mencho says, "Right, all right, well, that's what I hope. You guys leave us the bleep alone." The police officer says, Yes, sir, you know me. All I have is respect for you." Mencho said, "Same for you guys, and I apologize for the foul language." At least, even though he's a murderer, even though he's a demon, he at least has, you know, he apologizes. You got to admit, okay, he's got a nice streak in him. Oh my goodness, this is crazy. Anyway, the police said, I got the crew here. I'll send them your regards. Mencho said, all right, then tell them to fall back. And that's an order from me. And police said, yes, boss. And so Mencho said, we're done then. Okay, there you go. That's how it works. That's how it works. And his boss, Mencho's boss, that he's expected, that he works for is the CIA. So the CIA tells him that he better keep the cartels running and the drugs running and, you know, all the crime running and kill whomever, you know, the CIA wants them to kill, or he's out. And so he says, okay, I'm going to control the police. And so do you see how this lawlessness just becomes outrageous? It becomes pandemonium. I wanted you to see that is what's going on. And I feel like, you know, right now what we're seeing, let me see if I have one more. No, that's something else. I have a feeling that we're going to see Mexico great again and law and order restored, especially when you have 100 cartel members having been taken in. Yeah, this is the end of it. 100 cartel leaders before the El Mencho raid. This is what we're getting ready for as far as Purim, the end of the evildoers. This is, you know, the whole point of Purim is to bring down the evildoers. That's what Purim is all about. All right. So the next thing, here's another evildoer in a very high position. He is former Norwegian Prime Minister Thorbjørn Jagland. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But anyway, he attempts suicide shortly after being charged with corruption in connection with Jeffrey Epstein. How about that? So they know they're going down. And it reminded me of this post from August 26, 2018, suicide weekend. It would not surprise me because of the timing, because of the Purim, because of all these things that are going on and the Epstein files coming out and, you know, the different things. Like tomorrow, Candace Owens is going to bring out a really, in my opinion, damning evidence about what's been going on at TPUSA and how the Zionists go in and they take over these organizations. And if they can't control you, then they do a hostile takeover. And they do a honeypot and to infiltrate. And they have all these infiltrators in there. I mean, if you haven't watched it, I really would suggest that you recommend that you watch it, because it's she's got a lot of receipts. A lot of receipts. And then tomorrow is going to be more receipts. If she did not have evidence, she would not be coming and saying these things. And there are a lot of people who are pushing back on her. Well, it makes me think that maybe they're a dark hat. Makes me just wonder. Because what we're trying to get at, is the truth. I don't care who it is. I will leave no stone unturned. We want to get to the truth about everyone. Because if we do not, then guess what? It turns out to be just like Mexico, what we see in Mexico. All right, so suicide weekend, hands up, impossible. We are in control. Patriots are in control. So we will see if that happens. The other thing was I just saw it before I came on, there was another one who just, he went to the hospital. It was some Norway, I think it was Norway. And he went to the hospital, so it makes you think, okay, is he trying to escape justice? You know, and I really do not believe that Jeffrey Epstein was killed. I believe he's very much alive and that they protected him, and he's too great of an asset to let him be killed. That's my opinion. You know, we'll watch and see. All right, now we're going to talk about this whole Tucker thing. This thing was crazy. You've got to watch the whole thing. Here's the name of it: Tucker Confronts Mike Huckabee on America's Toxic Relationship with Israel. So the first thing I want to play for you is where he's talking about doing these, who is Israel? Who deserves the land? All right, so this brings up a whole nother thing, and I've talked about this many times before, but after I play this, I'm going to tell you what is the truth about the land and who deserves the land, okay? So we'll get into that. But he's talking about, well, we need to go ahead and do genetic testing. If the land really belongs to those who are genetically Israelites, then we have the technology, let's do it. Okay, so check this out.
only country in the world that you've said has this covenant with God, that this people have a moral and legal right to the land.
What about
and
people who convert to Judaism? Would they have a right?
Well, you've just said,
I mean,
that
there
it's
are converts
not,
to Judaism,
you,
so
you just told
they
me,
can make Aliyah. They may not have
you've just
DNA.
Told me that it doesn't matter. You told me moments ago, trying to keep track,
okay,
that it doesn't matter whether or not you believe in God or whether or not you practice Torah Judaism or Rabbinic Judaism, which is something else that I don't even know if we should, I don't even know what that means. But it doesn't matter whether you're, quote, a religious Jew or not. What matters is that you are part of the Jewish people to whom God gave this land mm-hmm. that extends from the Nile to the Euphrates. And so if you believe that, wouldn't you want to know with a burning passion who those people are? And because of science, we can now know who those people are. So why aren't we finding out?
I guess you could propose a DNA test for everybody who comes here, everybody who lives here. But the point
I'm comfortable
is,
with secular nation states
yeah.
where it's none of this is done on the basis of blood. I'm uncomfortable with that. I'll just say that.
But there are people who may not have bloodlines, but who have converted to Judaism. Are they going to be able to live here? Are you going to kick them out?
By your standards, they can't live here.
No,
because
no,
you've just
never
told
said,
me
no, no,
that
no.
they have a right to live here because God gave them the land because they're the descendants of Abram.
They're the descendants of Abraham. But if they're the spiritual descendants of Abraham and they've now decided that they're converting to Judaism, then do they have a right to live in Israel?
Well, there's a whole legal literature in Israel on that question. And my understanding is that certain types of modern Judaism qualify a person and other types don't. Is that your understanding?
I'm telling you, this was quite the conversation. And so it really was revealing. I think Huckabee was in way over his head. And I've said this many times in the books that I've written, that what the book, the bestseller End Times in 1,000 Years of Peace, I talk about how very, very complex this topic is. And I have not plumbed the depths of it. He mentioned some things on this video, this interview with Mike Huckabee that I had not ever heard before. But the thing is, who deserves the land? So he's talking about spiritual Israel. He's talking about basically us, that we are spiritual Israel, that we have been grafted into this line, and that we are now the bloodline of, you know, that is part of Israel. Okay, that's what I believe the Bible is talking about. When it talks about Israel, it's talking about people who are Israelites by faith. It's what this is, all that really matters, because the bloodline doesn't matter. It really, but what they are saying is, we are the true Jews. We have the ethnicity. We have the DNA. So we deserve the land, and everybody else get out. Tucker is saying that the people here who are in Israel have the DNA to prove that they deserve the land. The real ones are being cast out. And so I wanted you to see, I actually did a short little clip today. That's not the one. This one right here. And where it's just called Embarrassing. And I will pop this in here in the chat for you. And I know Songbird will share this in the comments, that this is about I'll just call it Embarrassing, or let's call it Bloodline. So I'm going to do that one, because I want you to see where he was really proven that he is not the scholar, or either he doesn't know the truth, or he's so controlled because they've funded his operation, funded him and his daughter. I don't know. It looks very bad when someone is not willing to look at the facts. That makes me very suspicious. I'm just going to say it that way. All right. So before we go on to the next thing, I wanted you to see that's really one of the key points that he brought up, was let's just do genetic testing on it. Okay. So I want to show you what I have done, the research that I have done, and I've got several videos over on melissaredpill.com. In case you haven't seen them, I did a series on this. One of my videos is in the video section called The Lost Tribes of Israel Found. And this man right here, his name is E. Raymond Capt. I would really suggest that you read his book. It's amazing. It's called missing links discovered in Assyrian tablets. And so he goes into, you know, he's since gone to be with the Lord, but he did a lot of research and he discovered that when the people were kicked out of the land back in 3,000 years ago, and they were, the Assyrians came and took them all captive and into Assyria and they became their slaves, he figured out from the Assyrian tablets where what their names were changed to and where they moved. Okay, so this whole video, it goes into that about, you know, where they went at different times. It's going to go a little slow, so I'm going to go, so here's the different places that they went to, and I'll show you this also. This is on the page on my website, freedomforce.live/flags. Okay, I'm going to share this one too. This is an important one because you can trace the true Israelites when they were scattered, like I said, 3,000 years ago. You can trace where they went based upon their heraldry, based upon their flags. As I posted this way back in 2023, the other video I did was probably back in 2019. This has been research that I've looked into for a long, long time. So here you can see, based upon their flags, you can see where Reuben went there and Zebulun went there and the tribe of Dan went there and the Gad went to France. I mean, and you can follow them very, very easily, even to this day. So if you look at the different tribes of Israel, they each have a symbol. For example, Naphtali has a gazelle. Benjamin has a wolf. You'll have Reuben has the face of a man. The arrows is the tribe of Manasseh. Okay, you'll have a unicorn is the tribe of Ephraim as well as an ox. Okay, so you can follow this. Oh, here like the Dan has the eagle and the snake. So I'm going to show you some of those flags in just a second, but basically the divided kingdom here is where you've got Israel and Judah. Well, this northern tribes of Israel, those 10 tribes that lived in this area right here in the middle, they were the ones who were cast into Assyria. All right, so if you go farther down, you'll see on this page, freedomforce.live/flags, you'll see all the heraldry of these towns in Europe. You'll see, for example, here's Germany, here's Switzerland. You'll see these wolves right here. And this is, again, talking about the tribe of Benjamin. These are all these wolves showing that this is where they ended up. They continued to use their heraldry for all these years. You can also see, he goes into, you can see their artwork. You can see their artisanship. You can see their language. You can see that this was Hebraic. Hebrew. Okay. This is the people. This is very clear. This is the way that you trace these ethnic groups. It's not difficult to do. And there's no way they don't leave an imprint wherever they have moved. And this is really Tucker's issue, is that if Netanyahu deserves this land and all of his group deserve this land, then there will be evidence that they had lived in this land 3,000 years ago. They will have these symbols for, you know, not just, you know, starting 50 years ago or 70 years ago, but back 3,000 years. And this is what we see all throughout. For example, here's the Levi. You'll see those. There's the castle symbolism there. And you'll see as we go on, the ships with Asher in Sweden. They have the ships and of course, they're shipbuilders. That's exactly what they do, right? And so on and on you can go. You can do more research into this. It's really very, very interesting to see. There's the line of course, of the tribe of Judah. And you see, of course, in the United Kingdom, that's when we all know that they have this symbolism right there. And so these are the tribes of Israel. As I've said before, our presidential seal has the olive branches and the arrows of Manasseh. We are represented as the tribes of Manasseh. The tribe of Manasseh, right there. We've had this for years. Our forefathers knew who we were, and the blessing of God that we are true Israelites. This is why we talk about the Omer behind me. That is not just a bundle of grain. This is the bundle of Omer, and that's why we have our name, America. You see what it's. You cannot just have a people without all their symbolism all this time. So, yeah, there's the ships from Zebulun. The Russia, Latvia, Scotland, New Zealand, France, and you can trace it all back. So I want you to see that. Very important. And I also have this video that I did called Jacob's four wives. Because when you look at the family of Israel, you can see clearly that even from the very outset, that there were actually five mothers, because when he adopted in Jacob's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, that meant there were five different mothers. And so this is very ethnically diverse, even from the very get-go. They don't all look alike, and it doesn't matter. It's not about that. It's about you know, those who truly follow the Lord. Because if you look at what's someone who's a true, that someone that's like a true Jew, a true ethnic Jew, is Esau, and he is not a believer. He is not one of God's people. So you see, it's a little more complex than what the Zionists would want to make it out to be. They want to say, well, we are the ones who deserve it. Don't look into our history, and you just say, you know, we get the land. The other thing that Huckabee was saying was, you know, if they have the power to keep it, then that's that, you know, they get to keep it. So it was quite the conversation. Okay, so I want to show you that, and that section right there, I want to make sure that you see, if you want to watch that whole section, the discussing the genetic testing, that starts at the 121 mark on that video. And unfortunately, I just won't be able to sit here and play the whole thing. What did I say? It was like, yeah, 2 hours, 42 minutes, I think, is the whole thing. But it was really important. I really appreciate Tucker bringing all this up. Now, he also talked super quick. I'm going to say that he brought up about the former prime minister of Israel. Check this out.
Israel described the Palestinians in Gaza as Amalek. That's calling for genocide. And you know that.
I totally disagree.
Tell me what it means.
Because to say that Israel...
This clip is where Benjamin Netanyahu was calling the Gazans Amalek. He's going to explain what this is. Amalek, A-M-A-L-E-K.
Is attempting to commit genocide? First of all, that's simply not true.
I'm saying, what is the prime minister talking about? Why would he refer to the Palestinians as Amalek? What is Amalek?
You would have to ask him. I don't know. I know what Amalek is. I do understand what? 1 Samuel 16. I get all
15.
That.
1 Samuel 15. 15. And it's widely known. So if you say our enemy is Amalek and we are proceeding on the basis of God's commands to us, you are calling for genocide. Tell me how I'm missing something.
Because if Israel wanted to commit genocide, they could have done it in 2.5 hours.
We can debate what's happened in Gaza. I'm asking you why the leader of this country...
Ask him.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know.
Does that bother you at all?
I don't know what he meant. I don't know if it was an illustrative metaphor.
When you say that at the outset of a war, and then you wind up with massive civilian casualties, then I have to ask you, what is that?
There you go. I really appreciate Tucker doing all this homework and finding out the story of Amalek. And yeah, this is basically what he was calling for, which was genocide. And that's exactly what we have been saying that they were doing, and that we said we cannot abide this. And when you look at aerial photography of this and videos of the land of Gaza, it is just rubble. It's just desolation, and clearly civilians and children specifically were killed in this horrible, horrible crime against humanity. And this is what Tucker is asking Huckabee, what he thinks that the Netanyahu was referring to when he talked about Amalek. And he does not want to say. Now, of course, he's an ambassador, and so he has a role to play. Okay, so I'll cut him a little bit of slack on that. But I really appreciate Tucker bringing this out, that was the intention of Netanyahu from the beginning. And this is why so many people on social media have pushed back so hard, and which I really appreciate. And if you're not familiar with that, definitely go and check into 1 Samuel chapter 15. All right, so now this is the one where the former president, is it the former president? Herzog sent him a letter. Let me see if I can get, let me get this one. Let me grab this one. Okay, I don't have that clip. All right, I want you to see what Tucker had to say about Israel's President Herzog. He denies he's a pedophile. He never went to Epstein Island, and he had zero direct chats with the guy. So he's airing the denial to let Herzog tell his side. Okay, so I want you to hear what this is.
The other day, I asked him about the Epstein files, specifically about an email the Department of Justice released from December of 2014 from Jeffrey Epstein to his friend Leon Black, inviting him to his now famous island in the Caribbean. And in that email, he says lots of other people are coming, among them, quote, Herzog and Ehud, Barack. And so I asked Huckabee, were you aware that this email suggests that the president, the current president of Israel, Isaac Herzog, went to Epstein's island? And Huckabee said, no, he wasn't. And I asked him about it again. So at the time I said that, there had been news items about this. In fact, there was a protest against Herzog on the basis of this email when he went to Australia recently, and he hadn't responded to any of that. Well, now we've received a long letter from President Herzog's office denying that he went to Epstein's island. In fact, denying unequivocally that he had any contact with Epstein ever. They didn't know each other. They never emailed with each other, never been in the same room. They had no relationship of any kind. I've gotten a lot of letters like this over the years from people alleging, oh, you got it wrong. But rarely do you get a denial this unequivocal. And so for that reason, we are taking it seriously. There's nothing worse than impugning the reputation of an innocent man. And so I just want to say clearly, I'm sorry to imply that I knew something I didn't know. Of course, I don't know that Isaac Herzog was on the island. I was referring to that email and the protest against him, but I don't know that. And I didn't mean to suggest that I do know that. And I also wanted to air his side of this. Again, President Herzog says he's never had any contact with Epstein ever. And so I just want to say that in the interest of honesty and transparency. Thanks.
Okay. So we will find out more, but I'll tell you one thing. Everybody realizes they're running scared and they do not want to have any indication that they had anything to do with Epstein, or because they know how damning it is and how it would be the end of their, not only of their career, but also of their reputation. And their names would go down in history and scorn. So, all right. So I want you to see that. So now this is another super quick. I want to tell you this one that that he's talking about what happened in Iraq and who was leading us going into war in Iraq. And, you know, even at the time, we're like, okay, so how is it that we've got these people from Saudi Arabia who supposedly went into these buildings on 9/11, which we knew that was something was very fishy on that. But then all of a sudden we're going into Iraq. Okay. So of course there's, you know, Saddam Hussein and, you know, all these, you know, I know they had a lot of stories to direct us basically to do what they wanted to do anyway, which is, you know, their political wranglings. They had a purpose for what they were trying to get accomplished, and they used the war to do it. And basically they're going to force their way to do what they want to do. But anyway, the point is, Tucker is asking him about that. Who was leading the charge? And his contention is that it was the Israelis, the Zionists. And so, of course, Huckabee wants to push back on that. So check this out.
On the ground, has the U.S. placed on behalf of Israel?
However many went to Iraq, we did that for Israel.
No, I don't think we did.
But you said we did it because of 9/11?
The U.S. government told us it was for 9/11.
But they knew they had nothing to do with 9/11, obviously.
Maybe
there's no evidence.
But I'm
so what was the actual
reason? Israel was not in that component.
That's not what the people who made the decision say. They say Israel.
Well, let me get back to the point.
Gave us that information about the fake weapons of mass destruction. Where do you think that came from? It came from BP.
How many Americans put their boots on the ground for Israel? The answer is zero.
Everybody who served in Iraq put their boots on the ground for Israel.
Did not.
Where did we get the information about the weapons of mass destruction that wasn't real?
We didn't get that from... You're saying we got that from Israel?
Well, absolutely.
You really believe that?
I know that for a fact.
For
and so does every... Yes, this has been widely written about and discussed. And I'm not attacking Israel. Like, they thought it was in their interest. I'm mad at the Bush administration and all the people who went along with this to the detriment of my country.
How many boots on the ground has the U.S. placed on behalf of Israel?
However many went to Iraq, we did that for Israel.
No, I don't think we did.
Okay, so yeah, I thought that was very telling. And tell me, it looked like he was surprised. It did. In that clip, it looks like he was surprised. I just think that he's in over his head. He has not been the scholar to follow all of these things. And so he's completely overwhelmed. And he was not prepared to have a conversation about this for 2.5 hours. If you remember, Tucker really got, you know, Ted Cruz into a tangle when he was talking to him about Genesis and who, you know, who are the true Jews, etc. And, you know, and it would turned out badly for Cruz. Looks like the same thing is happening to Huckabee, but even worse, it appears. And so he does not have the scholarship that Cruz has or the political savvy that Cruz has. Tucker is really exposing this. This is very important. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because it says here, the Tucker Carlson Mike Huckabee debate is a battle for the GOP's soul on Israel. And it's not just for the soul of for the GOP. The GOP's soul about whether we're going to have that as our platform to support Israel. It's also, and I think they all realize that Huckabee did not help himself or help their cause. The other thing is the church. It's not just for the GOP's soul, but for the church's soul. Who is, you know, are the churches going to be able to continue to support this stance that you do whatever Israel says, especially, you know, now that people are starting to wake up and realize that they have been taking land from people, that the true people who deserve it, they have a deed to this land, and they've been kicking these people out since 1947. Okay, I've got one other thing I wanted to mention to you, and that is that in the book of Deuteronomy, remember I was showing you that they were kicked out of the land because, let me see if I can show you this picture. Okay, so where was it? Okay, I think it's on here. Okay, they were kicked out of the land and they were cast into Assyria. They were in this area, this green area, and then they were cast out. Why were they cast out? Because they had gotten involved in Baal worship. Now, the southern tribes did too. They ended up going into Babylon. That's the Daniel and the lion's den and all that. But just talking about this green area into Assyria, why did the Lord kick them out? He said he deeded the land to them. But why is he saying that? He's basically ripping the deed away from them, saying you are not allowed to have the deed anymore to this land. You're out. You are now slaves to in Assyria. Why was it? Because they had gotten involved in Baal worship. The same things that were going on at Epstein Island, demon worship, harming children, this horrible thing. And the Lord says, I cannot allow you to stay here if you're sacrificing your children. And you're not clearly sacrificing them to me. They were sacrificing them, obviously, to demons. Okay. So this is what the Lord said. You have to leave the land. Okay. So they left the land. He said he would bring us back. But do we get, the reality is, I don't believe that he's saying that we would get the deed to this plot of dirt. He said the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the sea. It's about the land that wherever you live, you will take ownership of that land. You will take dominion of that land. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Get the kingdom to come into all of the earth, not just a little area in the Middle East. What's the whole point of a deed to the land? Why did the Lord deed it to them to begin with? So it would be an incubator for them to be safe and to grow and to multiply and to have, you know, a godly group of people. And when that was no longer happening because it was taken over by the Baal worshipers and they were led into Baal worship, he says, okay, well, then you have to be scattered so that you can't be hoodwinked into following this worshiping demons. Okay, I hope that makes sense. The whole point is it's not about the land. The land was for a purpose, for a time, and it's not about going back to a plot of land. Obviously, all the believers in the world cannot go and live on this plot of land. We need to fill the earth with righteousness wherever we live, and that land becomes the land of peace, becomes Jerusalem. That land becomes the city of God when the people who love God live there. I hope that makes sense. Check it out over on MelissaRedPill.com. Check out the flags page. Okay. I think you'll really, really like that. All right. So yeah, here is, I think that was everything. He was saying over here on this girl's show that he says, I don't know what's happened to Tucker. Well, we all know what's happened to Tucker. What we don't know is what's happening with you, Huckabee. We don't know. We hope that you are just, not that smart. That's what we're hoping. But yeah, you need to wake up quick, because supporting people who commit genocide, and literally at different times in the video, he's saying, you know, no one's being kicked out of their land, out of their house. Yes, they are. And have you seen the videos of Gaza, how it's rubble? You know, that's clearly was genocide, and he has to wake up and smell the coffee. He's just been under wrong teaching. I'm hoping for the best that he's been under the wrong influence, and he's realizing now that he needs to wake up and smell the coffee. All right, so because we had to wake up and smell the coffee. All right, so I think that is everything. So you have the link, so you can go and share that. Make sure that you guys go and like this and share it over here. I'll just give you that link right quick again now. This is the end of the first part, because this next part is going to be too hot for YouTube, and so, you know, see you in YouTube land. Because you guys can't handle the truth. So I have my wonderful friend with me here today. Are you here still with me? I know it took too long because I was trying to hurry so bad. Yay!
I am, Michelle. Yes.
Thank you for sticking around with me. I'm so glad. This is so great that you are here today. I just love everything that you are doing, and I really appreciate you. She is the one who is our helper about the chlorine dioxide, and she's going to answer questions and explain things to us. So welcome. Thank you for coming.
Well, I am so happy to be back on your show. We had such a great time the last time we got together on your show. And so much has happened for a moment when you said, hey, do you want to be on the show? I was like, what are we going to talk about? And I'm like, I have a list. I have like 3 pages long, a list of things. So there's no shortage of topics related to this. We won't get to them all tonight, but there's all kinds of things going on that I think you and your audience will really be interested in.
Awesome. Well, okay, so for those of you who don't know, this is also MMS, and she does the snoot spray, and I love this. This is the snoot spray right here, and this is where it makes it so easy to do chlorine dioxide or MMS, and so we just put it in the little spritzer, and just, it's wonderful. And you know, like, actually I got into something I knew I probably shouldn't get into, and I immediately went and got this to cleanse my nasal passages so that I would not get a cold, because I knew, I'm like, oh, okay, I was actually cleaning out our fireplace and I'm like, I don't want all that stuff up in my nose. I just don't think that's probably the best thing for it. So tell us what, you know, I know, because I've been using this for years, like as in 7 years, not snooze spray, but with MMS. But the thing with the MMS, it's much more, a little more complicated to mix, but you've made it super easy. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, that is exactly what we do, is we make chlorine dioxide easy. We make it taste better, feel better, make it easier to incorporate into your daily routine. And, you know, the concept of chlorine dioxide, and, you know, your audience is, I think, very well versed in it and very comfortable with it. But to some people, and to people who just hear about it, when you tell someone, oh, you've got to get this bottle of A and B, and then you got to mix it, and you got to wait for this, and you got to dilute it. It's really not that complicated, but it seems complicated. And a lot of people maybe can do it and say, okay, it's not that hard, but it's hard to keep doing on a regular basis. So you have to really be dedicated to it. And this is where the products literally just make it easy to incorporate into your life.
Yes.
And, you know, it's amazing what's been happening. Like the word that was on the tip of my tongue when you were talking about all this stuff prior to right now was truth. And how people have a really hard time with truth. You know, we're brought up to believe so many things for so long. We don't even know why sometimes. We don't even have proof. Someone just told us this is the way it is. And it is so hard to break that hold
matrix
on us. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And, you know, when we first started talking, I got involved with Howard Allinger, who was really the pioneer, the innovator in the field of chlorine. He actually created the field of small scale use for chlorine dioxide back in the 70s. And now he did not get involved in drinking it. He did a lot of testing. His thought at the time was, because chlorine dioxide is a gas, by the time you drink it, it basically is out of the body within 45 minutes. So he didn't really spend any time on that, because in his opinion, he's like, I really wouldn't stick around to do much of anything. And as it turns out, that's actually not really true, as we know by the entire community worldwide of people who've been drinking it really since, you know, the 80s or 90s, and maybe even before that, really going back to the 60s, I'll say.
Yeah. I'm a newbie. I've just been doing it for 7 years.
Yeah, it's
Funny. You know, I started because I was dizzy. I had terrible dizzy spells.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so when I took this, immediately my dizzy spell stopped.
Yeah. It's really amazing. It's such a fascinating compound. And I still kind of pinch myself. I'm like, how did I get involved in this? This is so funny. But yeah, that's, you know, chlorine dioxide is, you know, people ask me, well, what is it? Why does it work? And does it work on this, work on that? And I think at the really high level, you know, to explain it to people who may not be familiar, is chlorine dioxide is a gas. But what it does, it's an oxidizer and an oxygenator. And when the chlorine dioxide gas molecule hits cells, depending on what the cell is, it's either going to oxidize it in the case of a pathogen, but it's also going to bring oxygen, a little explosion of oxygen. So what it's doing, it's not curing anything. It's simply paving the way for your body to come in and take care of itself the way that it should be. And that's the beauty of it, is that it's really, you know, it's like a little house cleaning compound that, you know, that works in all these mysterious ways. And that's, but it is difficult. It's elusive. It's this gas. It'll dissipate. And before you know it, you've lost it. So what Howard Alger did back in the 70s, he already had an incredible career in the ultrasonics industry. And he you know, literally had dozens of patents before he ever got involved in chlorine dioxide. He was really a serial inventor. And he was actually working on an ultrasonic cleaning tech. And he's like, hey, what if we put a disinfectant in there? And he starts looking for disinfectants. He starts playing around with them. And they pretty much were all inferior due to a variety of reasons. You know, like chlorine was just too caustic. Hydrogen peroxide just didn't last and hold up. And there was other ones that he tried. And he starts reading about chlorine dioxide. And he's like, hey, that sounds great. Let me get that. And at the time, that was in the early 70s, you couldn't just go buy it off the shelf. You couldn't even buy it on Amazon, didn't exist, of course, but you had to actually make it. So he had to get sodium chloride, get, you know, a variety of acids that it works with, and he had to make it on the tabletop. And he starts making it, and as he's realizing, he's playing around with it, and he had cuts and scrapes on his hands, you know, from working in the yard, in the lab, and they were like healing incredibly fast. And that was really kind of his moment where he was like, oh my God, this stuff works. And that's really what started his journey. And when he realized that it had these healing properties and he really digs into it, it's like, my God, if you could take this gas and put it into a liquid or gel and keep it at the right concentration, the right pH, where you could apply it to the body, use it on the mouth, the skin, use it on animals, this would be life-changing. And that's really what he did. And so he started inventing his first patent, making chlorine dioxide. I think it was actually a gel in 1978. We actually have a letter. I think it's in my filing cabinet from the CDC. This is what's crazy about, and like speaking of everything that's going on in the world, we have the biggest treasure trove of letters and studies from our own U.S. government that say, "Dear Mr. Alger, we tried your Alcide, we tried your formula at Frontier Pharmaceutical, we tried your chlorine dioxide formula, and guess what? We found it to be totally effective against, you know, every manner of respiratory disease, every virus you can think of, HIV." H1N1, SARS, MERS, you name it. Actually the HIV paper came out in 1987. So it's like the government knows about this. The government uses it. The government worked with us. Why don't the rest of us know
about it? Well, what we thought was that they were really trying to work for our good. And that's what that big red pill that we've had to swallow is that there are those up there who do not want that. And that's why my video, I just talked about this very briefly, I think on the other day, and that whole video got banned off of YouTube because I talked about it, you know, and that tells you right there, oh, they're trying to protect. No, they're not trying to protect. They're trying to protect big pharma.
That is exactly it. And I didn't realize when we first started doing this, of course, Howard Alger, you know, he'd been making these products for 50 years, but we got involved in 2009, 2010. And we, my husband at the time really was kind of the one that prodded Howard, like, hey, this would be great for a nasal spray. Why don't you make this? And he was, at this point, Howard was like 80, and he's like, listen, fine, you know, I'll make it. I'll get an NIH toxicity study, because he had all these connections at the NIH, the FDA, the CDC. He's like, and I'll get a patent written. And he did all that stuff, but you do everything else. And that's kind of how we started this. We started as a separate entity. So we're business partners with Frontier Pharmaceutical. And, you know, my husband actually was a technology advertising executive. And so he's like, you know, it was basically a consumer packaged good, right? So there's a pretty formulaic process for taking a product to market these days. You go on the internet, you do A/B testing, you go on social media. This is what you do. This is how you do it. And he was really frustrated because really we'd have a little bit of success and then it wouldn't work. And then try something else, a little bit of success. And I don't really think we understood how badly we were censored, or chlorine dioxide was censored.
Right.
And now it's actually, and that was kind of a surprise to us. I
know.
It's like you think about it and you're like, no, it can't possibly be, but it is.
But it is. It is. And that's bright. And I was kind of, I guess, silly me thinking that, you know, YouTube had learned their lesson and was not going to censor us, but they certainly are. And I mean, they caught it that quick. They do
it's
not.
It's in their terms of service. It's in their
terms of service. I know. Yeah. I know it is. So
I know, which is crazy. And you think like, what? Like, and that's what people just, when you tell people that you're censored, they literally think, they think it's preposterous. They do not believe that it happened. So until I didn't believe it, until it happened to me personally.
Right.
I thought it was just overblown, like, really?
And I've really gotten used to being, you know, able to speak my mind over on Rumble, and X has been so great now. So it's really, you know, YouTube's going to have to get with the program, and I'm hoping that's going to come soon. I'm hoping that forum is going to be about freedom of speech everywhere, and anyone who's trying to stop us from helping people get well. That's the whole point, is to, you know, they make more money if we stay sick. And that's what this is about, getting someone really, really well. And like I said, you know, I had this, it was actually what I believe now, it was calcium deposits in my inner ear that had built up and were in my, causing my equilibrium to be off. And so as soon as I did this, it detoxed, and I never have had the dizzy spells ever again. And I think, you know, but it also goes all throughout your body, any kinds of issues that you're having. Now, that was when I was drinking it, and I still do drink it. Okay. The other day, everybody knows that, you know, I went and got some kind of horrible cough when we went on Christmas vacation, you know, too much sharing, too much Christmas gifts giving to each other, your cold. And so I was like coughing like crazy. Well, I ended up doing talked to Keto Carrie. She was on the show the other day.
Great.
She's our mutual friend. Anyway, so she was, because she loves it. This is so great for autism. I'm going to just say it. It's great for autism. And go listen to Keto Carrie, because she has helped so many children using this. Of course, we can't say that on YouTube, but either way. So she said, after she was on the show, I said, what am I going to do? This cough just won't go away. She said, I'll do 40 drops. I did 40 drops a day. So I'm very, very accustomed to drinking it. Okay. So that's not a problem for me, but, it does. You have to make sure that you are remembering to do it. And this is where you have made it so easy, because, well, you're going to remember till you do your mouthwash. You're going to remember to brush your teeth. You're going to remember to do all these things. So that's, you know, yeah, so basically what you do, and I have a video at the top of the page, freedomforce.live/CD. I made a little video. I don't know if you've seen it, but I show everybody, you take the little cup and you just squirt two squirts of the A and two squirts of the B. You leave it sit just for a few minutes. Once it's no longer blue, then you put it in your mouth. You do your normal mouthwash, and that's it. You know,
yeah, it's
easy.
So simple. It works so fast, and it tastes great. I mean, that's the thing.
Yes.
That, you know, God love these hardcore people like Carrie and yourself, right? That are willing to just get past the taste and the smell, and you want to tell people about this. You want to share people, and people just get kind of freaked out when you know the smell, the mixing. But when you say, oh, I've got a sore throat, oh, I've got just, you know, something you should try, or I've got a terrible sinus infection, or I'm afraid I don't want to get sick when I'm traveling, I got something you should try. And the fact that these products, they are in cute packaging.
Yeah.
They have a barcode. We sell them on Amazon. Like, this gives people confidence, and it takes a lot of the fear away of that it's this crazy chemistry experiment. It's like, oh, okay, it's just
right.
And I guarantee you, a lot of people, like, up until, like, I just added the words chlorine dioxide to our website, snootspray.com. I just added those words about 8 months ago.
Why is that?
Because if we said chlorine dioxide, all hell would break loose.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and so we basically positioned it as like, this is a high tech neti pot alternative. It's a nasal rinse. It's a high, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow.
So because we couldn't, and that's crazy too, that we were even, you know, censored without even spelling it out. But now I have people going, well, is your product chlorine dioxide? It doesn't say anywhere on your website it's chlorine dioxide. So now I have it front and center. Now we're out loud and proud about chlorine dioxide.
Yay. Well, I'm ready for the whole world to do this, because the reason that I, you know, and I actually just do part A because of adequate stomach acid. So I don't mix the two. I just put that in my water, and that's adequate to solve the, you know, so I'm not as tough as maybe Keto Carrie is. But I was going to say, I lost my train of thought. Anyway, I'm just glad that this does taste good. It is very easy to use, and it's something that you're going to end up doing now. But if you do have some, I was going to tell you, when I saw you, I tried it. My very first time I met you, I tried it and I put some up my nose and it kind of burned. And she says, well, the reason for that is because you've got some kind of infection. in your nasal passages. That's what Carrie told me. And so now I don't. It doesn't happen. You know, it hasn't happened anymore because using it, I'm keeping my nasal passages all lovely and perfectly clean and clear. So that makes me so happy. I feel so good. Oh, I was just going to say, if you're sick, you don't care what you have to do. You just want to be well. You don't care if it tastes nasty. If you're really sick, I'm telling you, that dizzy stuff, when you have to sit in a chair and you're dizzy for 3 hours, you are like, what do I need to do? Just give it to me and I will do it, because your life is just not your own anymore. Okay, so, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, kind of to your point, like, you know, when we first started formulating this, actually the first formula we had was the strong formula. And at the time it was just the formula. And group of like testers, there was like 8 or 10 of us in the group that were trying it out as we were, you know, kind of creating what is the final formula. And I, every time I used it, it really burned. It was really uncomfortable. And I was like, this is way too strong. We're never going to sell this. And everybody looked at me like I was insane. Everybody else was like, this is fine. It works great. Smells great. You're such a wimp. Like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, okay, well, I'm like, okay, well, you know, when we're going to, a bunch of people aren't going to buy it because it just burns and it doesn't feel good. And as it turned out, I literally just found out, but there's a couple reasons. One is that you could have an infection, which I had chronic sinus infections literally for decades.
Right.
Bronchitis every year. So that's probably for sure. But also, turns out I probably have a very low amount of mucus actually covering my sinus cavities. So
it's more sensitive. Yeah.
And the hard part is, you don't, you know, it's hard to know, you know, do you have dry sinus cavities? You know, it's hard. You don't really know.
Who knows? Like, who knows? Try this stuff and see if it burns like crazy. Yeah, but so right. Now you have a mild. You know, so what you're telling me is, I didn't realize
that. So what we ended up doing is, you know, after about a year or two, you know, we had maybe 10% the people who used it who said, just smarts a little bit, you know, I'm not happy. And so what we did is we had a big group of testers, and we had Howard Alger kind of, you know, reformulated. And essentially it is, you know, it's essentially the same solution. It's about a 50% reduction. I mean, you could dilute this. We don't really recommend it. What we really recommend is get the strong and the mild together so you have them on hand. And okay. I try to start people on the mild. And if you don't get any kind of relief on the mild, then go up to the strong. Okay. And we were just going to like, okay, this is our new formula, and not have two, because it was like, do we really need to make our lives complicated? But what we found was a bunch of these power users, people that were just like, literally all the testimonials, in fact, on our site, these are people like early users and people that had, you know, suffered sinus infections and used everything in the sun, had multiple sinus surgeries. They'd be like, my God, what is in this stuff? It works. I can't believe this works so well. And so we were like, okay, well, we're going to, you know, what do you think about this? And we were going to just, again, go to one formula. And they're like, no, don't do that.
They wanted
this so good.
Yeah.
No pain, no gain. They're like, no, we want to have the strong formula on hand.
Okay. I didn't realize that there were two. Okay. Yeah, so tell us about these other ones, because, you know, we are trying to get to the root of problems that people have that are nagging, that won't go away. So here you've got a wart remover, you've got a canker sore remover, and you've got the nail fungus remover.
Yes. Oh my God. We have an entire line of products on frontierfarm.com. These products are all amazing. And I think this is, you know, if you love chlorine dioxide and you want to kind of shout from the rooftops and you want to get your friends and family to use it, find out what ailment they have. Like, almost everybody has some problem, right? Like, you probably know somebody with toenail fungus, you probably know somebody with acne, you probably know somebody, you know, with wounds that don't heal, like nonstop, you know, warts, even nonstop mosquito bites that don't heal. You know, whatever that is, or even dental problems, all right, the wound gels are amazing. You know, find out what they've got and say, you know, I've got something, you know, do you want to try something? And if you can get somebody to try one product, oh my God, I had these warts forever and I tried everything. Or toenail fungus, this toenail fungus product, like, we've had even hardcore users of chlorine dioxide who drink it, bathe in it, soak their feet in it. And it's such a long, painful process because it just is so slow. But the toenail fungus product has glycerin in it and it's a thicker gel. So you just apply it after a hot shower and you within days or weeks, you'll start to see new toenail growth.
Oh, wow.
And it's just so much more convenient. But also the gels, because it's a thicker, it's not-
Right, when you spray, a liquid will just roll off.
Yeah. Right, like here's chlorine dioxide, you know, that's why 500 parts per million. You can spray this, but it evaporates so fast.
Right.
But if you use the gel, it's actually gonna sit on that nail bed, it's gonna absorb, it's gonna penetrate. Yes. And that's what starts getting into the root of the problem.
There you go.
That's why the products are, you know, we've had people who were just, you know, hardcore
And you got acne treatment too. Acne treatment.
Yeah, the acne. Oh my God, the acne stuff is fantastic. I've got, and actually, you know, we have a foaming facial cleanser, which we're kind of out of stock right now, but we'll be back in stock soon. We're just rebranding, long story. But the foaming facial cleanser is incredible. Actually, you can get it on aseptic.md.com. That's one of our white label distributors. It's an incredible product. The acne gel is amazing. The mouthwash, the toothpaste, there's so many more things we need to be doing. But you know, start with these things. It's like,
yeah.
If you can get rid of the stuff that's in your medicine cabinet, in your bathroom right now. Oh, you know, one thing that I was going to show you, there's a slide that we have that we did a test where we took toothbrushes off the bathroom countertop and we put half in saline, we put half in the Dioxirmus mouthwash, and we basically cultured them and to see what grows on your toothbrush. If your toothbrush is in vicinity to your toilet, you are reinfecting yourself every time you it's disgusting.
That is disgusting.
So you can literally just mix the Dioxirmus, dip your toothbrush in it, you know, for 30 seconds or whatever. I mean, depending on what's going on, but I think what I love what's going on too, is there's so many people now talking about the nasal oral microbiome and how nasal and oral, you know, rinsing and hygiene is such an important thing, because it is. And really the sinus cavity, the nasal cavity and the mouth, that's really the top of the digestive tract. So the reason I think a lot of people don't get better that are taking supplements, they're exercising, they're doing all these, even they might even be drinking chlorine dioxide. The problem with the sinus cavity is biofilm. And biofilm is like this like layer of bacteria living and feeding among itself. It's like, you know, like when you touch the side of a hot tub or a slippery rock in a stream, that's biofilm. It's very, very difficult to break up. Biofilm in your nose, actually forms tartar and plaque on your teeth. That's what has to be scraped off. And it's also in our bodies. So drinking it is great. But I'd say probably 80% of the population has some kind of sinus problem, and it's in that biofilm. So when you drink it, you'd have to drink so much. People get better, but you really want to get the chlorine dioxide where the problem is, which is in the nose and sinuses. So
I know that because I do drink it, but I want to do a shot in the nose to really clean out my nose. I'm like, I cannot afford to get a cold. And so I immediately, you know, put this up into my nasal cavity.
Right, okay, someone was asking, dripping down. Exactly.
Yeah. So someone was asking about the website. No. Okay. So I send everyone to freedomforce.live/CD, which takes them to your website that has everything on it. So let me just show you where this is taking everybody. Okay. But you're
I've got a couple specials for you that are also on the Snoot Spray website too. You want to you can get all the products, including Snoot, of course, all the products we talked about on frontierfarm.com.
Okay, frontierfarm.com/FFB. Yeah. All right, so when you go there, you were saying there was one item that was not in stock right now?
Yeah, so that's the foaming face wash. I'll try to see if we can get like a reserve list your product now. We're going through a little manufacturing issue, definitely get the acne gel. Oh, and you can actually buy the foaming face wash right now through another company. It's I don't have a discount code set up with them, but it's called Aseptic MD. It's
A-S-E-P-T-I-C?
A-S-E-P.
Okay. S-E-P-T-I-C-M-D.
M.MD? aseptic.md.com.
Okay. I've got it. They were asking for that. And does it have an expiration date? I don't believe it does.
So I'll tell you, the single part products, pretty much we have an expiration date of a year and a half.
Okay.
And if you put them, you know, in reasonable temperatures, you know, out of sunlight, out of heat, they would probably last 2 years. The snoot and the mouthwash and the toothpaste are still two separate parts. And we have a 2-year expiration date on the snoot. And actually what happens is, you know, like many things with an expiration date, the snoot actually, because it's two parts, nothing really happens until you combine it, that they're really inert ingredients. So I've used a snoot kit from 5 or 6 years prior, no problem. If anything, it might get a little bit stronger. So it's really, but the single part, you know, the single part will last a good year and a half, maybe 2 years if you kept it maybe, you know, just, you know, it doesn't really necessarily need to be refrigerated, but keep it out of heat. But they It's a good long time.
All right. So our president is coming on tonight to do his State of the Union. So I know I want to make sure to give everybody time to get their popcorn ready for that. So, totally. So, but you said there's some kind of special. Tell me what's that is about.
Okay. So, I've got a special set up for your audience, and it's a 15% off everything the Snoot Spray site. And the reason I want to send you to Snoot Spray tonight, I want to get people familiar with that site. We got a lot of great information, but the most important thing that I want you to see is this book has now come out, The War on Chlorine
Dioxide. Yes, you sent that to me. I just got this. I wanted to, yes, that's awesome.
Yeah, and this is for, I'm sure your audience knows Dr. Pierre Corey, who wrote The War on Ivermectin. And, you know, when I started following Pierre, I was like, I'm reading the book and I'm like, every time he says ivermectin, my brain is doing a find and replace, like an autofill. Like, oh my God, if you think the war on ivermectin is bad, wait till you see the war on chlorine dioxide.
Uh-huh.
And enough. He, I kind of hunted him down and followed him on Twitter and Substack, and he and his business partner, Scott Marsland, joined our group of international doctors. We have a group that meets a couple times a month, and it was just kind of a networking, share stories, get to know each other group, and he joined one day, and that kind of started him on his journey. And he, pretty much everybody in this book that he's met, we connected him through the people in this group. Including Patricia Calasparis, who's a doctor in Bolivia, who helped get it legalized for COVID. And it's incredible. And he did an incredible job on telling the story of course, Mark Grennan, Carrie Rivera, Howard Olinger, you know.
In the day of heroes. Heroes.
Yeah. And it's really well done. It's, I don't, you know, he's got such a great style of how he tells a story. And when you know his backstory, he's just like, oh my God, here I go again. You know, I thought ivermectin was bad, but now it's like, I'm not suicidal. You know, I'm perfectly healthy.
Because he's going up against Big Pharma, and it's a huge cartel.
Exactly.
I mean, they're tougher than these Mexican cartels.
Right, it's crazy.
What's the special offer?
The special is when you go to snootspray.com, there's a banner right at the top that says get the new book, The War on Chlorine Dioxide. You're going to go to the page for this book, and you can get the book with the snoot. You can get the mild, you can get the strong, or you can get the two of them together. So we got 15% off for your audience right now.
Right there. And I'm pointing to it, that orange banner at the top, you guys. Okay.
Yeah.
Right there.
And I also, if you're there and you want to get this, I also am now carrying The War on Ivermectin. I'm carrying Butchered by Healthcare by Dr. Robert Yoho. I'm carrying Carrie Rivera's books. I'm carrying Sally Saxon's book, which is a phenomenal book on COVID. I started with actually Sally Saxon's book about COVID, and I was like, we should work together. Like, we're all kind of fighting the same demons here. We need to join together. Because our people need to know your people and vice versa. Like, we're over here trying to shout, you know, about chlorine dioxide. And the whole vaccine injured world is like shouting, like, get us better. I'm like, we're here. Can we all get together and help each other? So Sally's was the first book I had, which was a great book. And I also added Scott Miller's book. He also got fired and lost his license for, saving people's lives.
It's so evil. I'm just so ready to make medicine great again.
I'm so excited because, oh my gosh, on this book, this is the coolest thing ever. And I have to tell you, RFK Jr. has read this book. And if you recall, he actually said the words chlorine dioxide in his Senate confirmation hearing, thanks to Pierre Corey. And I actually told him about it too. I mean, I went and met RFK Jr. in 2023. And in fact, when I met RFK Jr., I met him at Steve Kirsch's house at a fundraiser. And I was like, he just walked up, he was standing right next to me. It was the coolest thing ever. And I just launched into him like, so, you know, the war on ivermectin, the war on chlorine dioxide is the same story, but it's far worse. And the ramifications are far, far greater. And he was like, what? He'd never heard of it, which I think he really did hear about it. But I think he really didn't make, like, I never say MMS, but that's probably how he knew about it. But he was like, I'm like, how do you not know about this? So how I tell RFK Jr. is I say, so let me tell you, if obviously, you know, the war on ivermectin, Pierre Corey, they talk all the time, they're interviewed. And I said, so I basically say the same thing. The war on chlorine dioxide is the same exact story, but the compound has so much greater reach and capability. And the fight has been going on for 50 years. And literally the amount of people injured, died, suffered because of the suppression. And
that doesn't even talk about the people who have misery, who've been sick and can't get well.
So I said, it's huge. And so, like, the fact that I literally described it to RFK Jr. as the war on chlorine dioxide, I'm like, this book is going to get written. And it did. So we're carrying that book. And awesome. So I'm like super excited.
Oh, you're going to have to send me the clip that you're talking about where he talked about chlorine dioxide in his, I did not realize he did that.
And the cover blurb is from Ron Johnson, the cover blurb.
Yes, I saw that.
A gripping tale of corruption and courage that will open eyes and prompt serious questions. And he wrote, introductory blurb, as did Steve Kirsch, which really made me very happy because I've been working on Steve Kirsch for a really long time too.
That's so awesome. Yeah. That's wonderful. Okay. So is there anything else that you want to share real quick before we go? Because I know our time is way over.
No, that's it. I would just say come check out the books, come check out the combo products, get your 15% discount. Oh, the code for that 15% discount is Red Pill.
Oh, so there you go. That's easy to remember, Red Pill.
And then we should get together again because there's so much going on, including Carrie Rivera is about to launch a whole new training program. There's so much stuff going on that the time is now, and it's really good. It's phenomenal. For us to be invited on shows like yours I could never have imagined this 5 years ago. Never.
I'm so glad that she introduced us. And but we're still... To talk about this, we have to be over in the Isle of Misfit Toys still. But I do believe that we are going to get there, especially looking at RFK is in the position that he's in. And it's just everything is, we've turned this ship around. We're sailing back to safe waters. And so and I just can't wait to see everyone well. And I just released my book, The Golden Age. And I've got a chapter in there, The Golden Age of Health. And that we will have our health back. This is all throughout God's word. In the Golden Age, we're going to have our health back. So while we do that, I'm going to share you guys this wonderful passage. This is a lot of times talking about the greatness of the Jews went back to the land of Israel. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that we are birthing this kingdom. Look at this verse in Isaiah. Let's see what chapter this is. This is Isaiah chapter 66, you guys, which 66 represents actually the angels that stayed faithful to the Lord. 66% stayed faithful with the Lord. Talk about that in the End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace book if you haven't read that one. Anyway, it says, before she travailed, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a son. And so I talk about this, Michelle, in case you haven't seen, that we have been fighting this seems like forever. I've been in the battle 10 years. You've been in the battle, some of these people, 50 years, whatever it is, a long time. But in the scheme of humanity, especially since the exile and 3,000 years ago, this is just a small little time, right? Before hardly even the birth pangs have come, we have delivered this son. We're going to enter into this golden age. They thought they had us down for the count, and it's not. They realize now they're panicking because they realize we're going to defeat them. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion is the city of God, travailed, she gave birth to her children. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to be delivered? Shall I, who caused to give birth, shut the womb? He's been working on the kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven for all these years, well before 2,000 years ago when he gave us the Great Commission. Is he going to say, okay, never mind, I changed my mind? Of course not. He's been building his kingdom and he said he would go and prepare a kingdom, prepare a place for us. It's this earth. He's preparing this earth for us so that it won't be like what's going on in Mexico and Iran and Venezuela and all these places. We're preparing the kingdom so that the people are ready to take rule, just like RFK, just like you, just like Carrie. Shall I cause to give birth, shut the womb, says God, your God. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice for her, all you who mourn for her, that you may nurse and be satisfied, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you will nurse, you'll be carried on her side, you'll be dandled on her knees as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you, you will be comforted. You'll see and your hearts will rejoice. Your bones will flourish, your health will flourish like the tender grass. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? I could read on, but I want everyone to remember, this is the day. This is the end times for the criminals, for the cabal, and it's the 1,000 years of peace and health for us. And we're starting now. We don't care what YouTube says. We're going to get our health back now. So go on to freedomforce.live/ CD and to get more information, and also for the Snoot Spray special, go to did you do some kind of special thing?
I sent you a link.
You sent me a link. Okay, let me see if I can figure out how to get to it now that it would be.
Yeah, so it's just snootspray.com/redpill.
Okay, I will make sure that you guys have that over in the chat. I can't seem to figure out how to get it right now, but okay. I think we're going to pray and we're going to jet. Okay, you ready?
Wonderful.
Thank you, Lord. We praise you that you are the King of the world. You have planned all this thousands of years ago, and you raised us up into this position at such a time as this so that we would be your army to expose the truth and to help people to get well. Thank you for Michelle and all the work that she does to help people to get well, and so and all of this wonderful team that she's talking about. Thank you so much for RFK. We just pray, Lord, that we will soon see the day when we can say these things openly and everywhere, and that everyone will know the true ways to get well and not continue to fight these things that don't get them well. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to see that beautiful day and your kingdom come, this beautiful birthing of this kingdom on earth. And we praise you and we thank you. We thank you for our wonderful president, and thank you that you're guiding him. And we thank you that Mexico will be great again, and Iran will be great again, and Venezuela and Gaza, and that the truth is literally setting us free. We just pray that you'll just touch everyone's heart so that they know what to do for their health, and what they know and how to understand the difference between what's true and what is clearly lies. Touch our hearts, Lord, so that we know the truth. And we pray this all in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right. Love you. I'm so glad that you came on to visit with me. All right, guys, I'm going to play our last little song, and then Michelle is going to, you just hang on tight with me, okay, darling?
Okay.
Sure. Hang on super, super quick. And you guys have fun talking to, listening to our wonderful president. I will see you on the social media, and I love you, and I'll talk to you later.
The fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe and his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.